We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And now New Galaxy Broadcasting presents Inalienable and Free, Voice of the Coalition, a program addressing the grave challenges to human and citizen rights in America and the rest of the world. How can we, the people of Earth, take back the power and privileges granted to us by God and address so significantly in the Declaration of Independence? Our rights are inalienable, that is, given by God and incapable of being taken away from or given by another. These rights are the basis of liberty, the foundation of all life and happiness. The Coalition of Planetary Empowerment is an organization designed to give its members tools and information to empower them personally, in relationships and in business and employment, but also to give them a voice and the ability to help transform political and corporate governance to support the true needs and desires of people throughout the world. Inalienable and Free focuses on the need for government and corporate business interests to be responsive to the will and desire of their constituents and consumer shareholders. Good morning. My name is Johnny Bluestar, host of Inalienable and Free, Voice of the Coalition. I am joined today with Donald Newsom, who helps me produce this show and who is an owner of BBS Radio, this innovative station I am privileged to broadcast from. But before we get into our conversation, I'd like you to listen. Maybe you've heard it before, but I think it's worth listening to again. Well, Don, have you heard that one before?
I actually have not. That's the first time I've heard it.
That is audio that's in a video that has been really broadcast around the world. A lot of people have heard it. Some people, of course, have missed it. But those are children actually in detention. And what was going on when somebody came in and was managed somehow to record it. These children, in the translation, which you can see if you look at the video, is they're crying out for their parents. It's a very sad situation. How has it affected you, Don? I mean, I know you know about the situation.
Yeah, it's... I do. I've been keeping up on it, but I think there's some bad immigration policies that have been established, and they're hard to get rid of. And we have a very concerted effort with a lot of money behind it, globalist money, and they want an open border. They want much more open border system. And, it's unfortunate because I don't believe in open borders. I'm just not an open border believer. I believe that everybody has the right to their privacy and their own walls and fences and cultures and so on. And so with these policies come these problems. And, that now Trump has to take care of them because, they're problems now of his administration. So he's got to step up to the plate and see what can be done. Unfortunately, nothing was done about these things in prior administrations, and hopefully, we can see some relief here for these families.
Well, I feel that I agree with you about open borders. I don't really believe in open borders. I don't think it's an appropriate thing really to do at this point. And
Future. I mean, I'm a guy who would love to see a world with no borders. Trust me, I'm an idealist. Who isn't? But yeah. I'm not going to go around, changing everybody's fortune, trying to implement that, because I just don't think the planet and the world is ready for it. As much as we like to think we are.
I exactly agree with you. It may be that in the future, if we were more evolved and weren't clinging to our different identifications, it'd be possible. But it's not possible now.
Exactly.
It's not possible in a very practical, psychological way. And I even was for, in a certain sense, militarization of the borders, just make sure that people can't come in. But this kind of sloppiness and cruelty is something else. Let's listen to M55.
Let's go live now to MSNBC's Jacob Soboroff in McAllen, Texas. Jacob, you have been one of the very few journalists allowed to see one of the facilities where these migrant children are being held. Tell us what it is that we can't see.
So, Casey, this building behind me is nondescript, but it's probably the epicenter of this entire conversation that we are having. This is the Border Patrol Central Processing Center in McAllen, Texas, called Ursula. And inside there, right now, there are 1,200 detainees, and more young children have been separated from their parents inside that building as their parents leave the building than anywhere else along the southern border. And that is because this sector, the Rio Grande Valley, sees more apprehensions, more people trying to cross illegally than anywhere else. And inside this building today, we got inside with another group of journalists for the first time. And what we saw, frankly, is as shocking as everything else that we have been seeing. And I want to be really clear. What's happening inside that building in terms of people being detained inside cages? And by the way, we weren't allowed to bring our cameras in, but we were given handout photos from Customs and Border Protection, and maybe we can show you some of those if we have them right now. People have been detained inside buildings like this in this building for a long time, but this is the first time ever that children have been separated on a systematic basis. Look at those photos right there from their parents, and that is because of the Trump administration. People in here are locked up in cages, essentially what look like animal kennels. I don't know any other way to describe it. And strangely, the Washington Post gave Senator Jeff Merkley what they call three Pinocchios for saying the kids were locked up in cages in here. That's exactly what I saw today. What's different than what was going on in this building during the Obama administration is the systematic separation of children from their parents under this zero tolerance policy. And in this sector alone, there have been over 1,100 kids separated from their parents since the policy began. We know 2,000 since early April across the entire southern border, so it's a massive amount coming out of here. In this building, what happens is parents get ready to leave the building, and they don't know if they're going to ICE family detention with their children, or if they get to bring their children with them, or if they're going to go to the courthouse and get charged. And ultimately, they're basically given a piece of paper, they're taken to the courthouse, their children are left behind here, and they don't know when they are going to see their children ever again, frankly. I don't think that, they're supposed to call this phone number and figure out the details, and that's something that's supposed to get explained to them. But there's a big mess going on right now, and even the Border Patrol inside this building says they're overstaffed, they don't have enough resources. The system is just getting stressed out because the Trump administration decided to put this into place, and the consequences really haven't been worked out. And the biggest consequence of all is thousands of young children in a way that has never been done before, taken from their parents. And when you hear the Trump administration say, this has been done before, this is a Democrat policy, this is not unusual, that's BS, frankly.
Well, this is amazing. I mean, there's so many aspects to this thing. There are people, children who have been shipped all over this country already. Matter of fact, the airlines, a lot of the major airlines have said we won't be involved in this. We won't ship them, but they have been shipped already. So some of them landed in New York. Did you hear about that one? I think 160 kids.
Yeah, I believe I did. Yeah, yeah.
And the thing about it, they have, I guess, tracked these kids down. But a lot of these people, they don't know where they are. And the question I have, to some extent, is are they hiding them? Did they intend to hide them?
Good question. Good question.
That is probably partly of the seriousness of what they're doing. I'd like to go over some things here. This is sort of, you know who Michael Avenatti is, who helped Stormy Daniels, the so-called porn star,
right,
lawyer. Well, I don't know if you know this, but he has gone on a rampage to try and help these people, these children. And he's offered his law firm for assistance. And I decided to present a proposal to him. And now I sent an initial proposal, but this morning I sent another one. I'd like to hear your opinion about it. Is that okay?
Certainly.
Right. So I'm telling him that what I immediately thought about or proposed was a kind of class action lawsuit based upon the violation of the Eighth Amendment in regards to the parents separated from their children and their subsequent injury and the injury to their children. We're talking about long-term medical and psychological effects, as well as the reaction to the abuses suffered during this separation. And you know, Don, there's been a lot of talk about abuse already, and there is a record of an incredible abuse of some of these back to 2014. I'm sure it didn't just start with this. Anyway, I'd like to, so in this little tweet, I say, it's not a tweet, it's a message on Twitter. I think, first of all, I'd like to state the reason this is a violation of the Eighth Amendment. Some might argue, which is a cruel and unusual punishment. Some might argue that the separation due to the charge of a federal misdemeanor is just a byproduct of a separation mandated by law if someone is sent to a federal prison. In other words, that's what happens. You go into federal prison, you can't take your family with you. This has nothing to do with Trump's current policy, but it has to do with the application of it, because when you start to indict these people for a federal misdemeanor, they're going to federal prison. So then you separate them, right? You see what I mean?
Little
cleverness there. Of course, being separated from one's family could be a natural deterrent for most people facing a prison sentence for any kind of crime. So you might say this is only a procedure, but not a punishment. But normally separating oneself from one's family because of going to prison is a consequence of a procedure and is probably not technically part of the punishment. But in this case, as it has been established by the Trump administration, is being used as a deterrent. Why? Because the procedure is ensconced in a matrix of incredible uncertainty, and there's a strong possibility they may never see their children again. So it is a kind of an amazing punishment. Further, it is known that even a short-term absence from parents can do irreparable damage to a child and can, under these circumstances, create an incredible level of health-damaging stress for a parent. Owing to these circumstances, the procedure for federal prisoners has morphed into a radical and dangerous precedent. It is comparable to threatening someone with kidnapping or imprisoning your children and doing possibly irreparable damage to them. Besides this being a morphing of a generally difficult but legal separation from a family because of a crime or procedure that has changed into a punishment, it is clear that the use of this procedure as a weapon of deterrence far exceeds the punishment for any kind of misdemeanor. Is a little like saying, if you commit a bank heist upon conviction, we'll put you in a detention in a federal prison like we would do to anyone else convicted of a serious crime. But owing to our prosecutorial discretion, based on the growth of bank heists recently, we're going to put you in a federal prison that is right near a volcano and is right now in a very volatile earthquake zone where there have already been injuries and fatalities. So you better think twice about robbing a bank. In this case, the punishment is not just prison, but the possibility of severe injury or losing one's life. It is, in this case, in fact, cruel and unusual punishment. We are not supposed to have our family injured, falsely imprisoned, or even placed in a situation where communication or even location appears to be impossible as a punishment for a misdemeanor. So what do you think of that?
You know, I'll tell you, it's a serious issue. I mean, separating families does do irreparable harm, no doubt. And I think the policies in place that allow that need to be changed. I think you're right. They're using them as a deterrent. You know, the whole administration is using that as a deterrent. Whether it works or not isn't really the discussion. It's cruel and unusual, no doubt. I think those policies need to change. I don't think we need to be using cruel and unusual ways to deter people from entering this country. I think there's better ways to do it. I think that any time, like most people, I'm a parent, I have four kids, anytime, you know, you're separated from your kids, that just to me is atrocious. And
hell on earth, man. Especially if you don't know where they are.
Right, you know? Right. And the problems once the kids are separated and all the things that can go wrong and then losing family members or they're absconded by the state or, you know, that'll peddled off into the gangs or into the sex trafficking culture, whatever's going on, and we hear quite a bit of it. Yeah, it's cruel and unusual. It needs to be stopped, period. But, President Trump is a man who wants to make sure that there is no more illegal immigration. He profoundly believes that, and I think, they might be allowing things to go too far in this case. Yeah.
Well, let's listen to how other people have been affected by it. Other people have been protesting in different ways in N56.
Donald Trump may finally be reaping what he has sowed by reducing every debate to black and white, good versus evil. Today, he finds himself on the wrong side of history and at odds with former First Lady Laura Bush, former First Lady Michelle Obama, a united and energized Democratic Party, and the few Republicans in this country who are still in possession of their spines and their souls. The Trump administration today doubling down on its policy of forcibly separating children from their parents at the border. Former First Lady Laura Bush, in an extraordinarily rare rebuke of a policy and a sitting president, accurately describes the Trump policy as, quote, warehousing children in converted box stores, and writes, quote, I live in a border state. I appreciate the need to enforce and protect our international boundaries. But this zero tolerance policy is cruel. It is immoral, and it breaks my heart. She adds, these images are eerily reminiscent of the Japanese-American internment camps of World War II, now considered to have been one of the most shameful episodes in U.S. history. Former CIA Director General Michael Hayden goes even further, comparing these scenes at the border to Nazi concentration camps, tweeting, quote, this is Birkenau, then Germany, now Poland. No one who now walks through that portal on that siding can casually believe that civilized behavior is guaranteed. In response, the Trump administration deflecting blame but owning the hardline policy.
Immigration is the fault and all of the problems that we're having because we cannot get them to sign legislation. We cannot get them even to the negotiating table. And I say it's very strongly the Democrats' fault. You see about child separation. You see what's going on there. But just remember, a country without borders is not a country at all.
You know, one of the things that really bothers me is that they completely lied about their being sort of handcuffed by certain laws, Don. They weren't handcuffed by certain laws. This was just a policy.
Right.
And he said he wouldn't sign any kind of executive order because he couldn't. Obviously, as we'll see as we unfold this story again, he did sign an executive order.
Right.
Somewhat of a lame one. And I think that, we talk about people who are kind of spiritual. And I think people who are kind of spiritual are going to want to get beyond these polarized solutions. But I think that, but I think I'd like to present the point of view of one person who's really responsible for a lot of this, which is Steve Miller in 57.
Welcome back. As we were talking about, President Trump's senior policy advisor, Stephen Miller, has reportedly played a big role in the shaping of this administration's immigration policy. In a new interview with the New York Times, Miller had this to say, quote, no nation can have the policy that whole classes of people are immune from immigration law or enforcement. It was a simple decision by the administration to have a zero tolerance policy for illegal entry, period. The message is that no one is exempt from immigration law. You may recall that Miller has at times made controversial claims about the sweeping reach and depth of the president's executive powers. Here he is back in February of 2017 talking about the president's travel ban.
The end result of this, though, is that our opponents, the media, and the whole world will soon see, as we begin to take further actions, that the powers of the president to protect our country are very substantial and will not be questioned.
How do you like that, Don? Will not be questioned. I mean, that really could come out of the mouth of someone like Goebbels.
You know?
it's really strange how someone like this could be in charge of creating policy for the United States, because we are talking out here about a unitary presidency. We're really getting to the point where they expected the reaction to this thing to be 9-1 positive. So I think in terms of political strategy, these guys were off. And part of the Bannon strategy is to cause chaos, cause confusion, sure, in the airports and stuff like that. They want to cause confusion. And of course, this kind of nurtures the base, but they're exaggerating the value of that, I think, in this case. You know, another thing that's interesting about this, I thought this time, we talked about it last week, but you remember how after this terrible massacre of all these people by the Israelis in Gaza,
right,
how they threatened, Haley threatened that she would withdraw from the Human Rights Council of the UN.
Right.
Well, they did withdraw, but I think they withdrew just in time, because if they were there, she'd probably have a lot of, they'll probably bring this up first thing. I don't know. But let's listen to this little story about how she pulled out.
The United States has decided to withdraw from the UN Human Rights Council, and Nikki Haley is saying that it's over perceived bias against Israel. There is this notion by U.S. officials that the UN is too tough on Israel, and so if they're unwilling to inform their toughness, the U.S. will pull out. And today they announced, yes, we are pulling out. Mike Pompeo and Nikki Haley announced that the United States is withdrawing from this Human Rights Council. Haley has criticized the council in the past for hypocrisy and has said the group is engaged in a relentless, pathological campaign against Israel. So
let me just get this right.
Yeah.
Israel, for committing human rights violations that almost the entire world agrees to, and we've seen with our own eyes, we've seen it on videotape, we've shown you the snipers shooting people that are hundreds of yards away from the fence, medics being shot, killed, etc. That's not the problem. The problem is that a human rights council, whose job is to look after human rights, is criticizing Israel for those violations of those human rights. So we live in a topsy-turvy world where look away from the actual issue and yell at the people pointing out the issue. But to be fair, I mean, that's Republican 101. They do it. In fact, they're doing it with the immigration issue right now. They say it's not the fault of the Trump administration or the Border Patrol. They said, they came out and said the real victims, the Fox News did, to be fair. Fox News said the real victims are Border Patrol agents.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And the people who made them do it are the parents who brought in their kids. And the Human Rights Council had also criticized us for that policy just yesterday. So apparently we're mad about that as well. And by the way, it's also what Israel said. They said the Palestinians made us shoot them with snipers because they were protesting being occupied. They made us kill them. It's their fault, not our fault. And the United States goes, how dare you criticize Israel? It's obvious that the Palestinians, including the civilians who were killed and the medics who were killed, made the Israelis snipers fire from hundreds of yards away and shoot them and kill them.
Wow. It's just, that really seems true to me. What do you think?
You know, Israel has committed so many atrocities. I mean, I don't even know where to begin. I mean,
you begin when it first started as a state.
well, exactly. It's been a thiefdom since it started, and it's going about proving that on the global stage continuously.
You know, I was brought up Jewish. I have a more universal attitude towards religion, but I'm certainly aware and happy about my family, except for the fact that 10 of them died in the Warsaw Ghetto and a lot of them died in Polish concentration camps. And I didn't really understand what was happening until very recently, because I didn't pay any attention to it, to be honest with you.
Right.
And when I discovered what Israel has been doing, and as you know, you've followed it in this series of Inalienable and Free, it is absolutely amazing. It's so bad. It's so evil.
And with our money.
Yeah, with tremendous amount of money, giving them nuclear weapons, having them act as surrogates in some of the things that are probably being done. Like recently, there was an attack on certain group in Syria. You know, these were people who were anti-Al-Qaeda, actually. At first, it seemed like people thought it was the United States, but it wasn't. It was Israel. Right. It was an unusual attack, quite far away from their usual battlefields in the air. Anyway, it is really. It's just. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The pogroms were horrible, and so was Nazi Germany. But I don't know anyone in my family that would ever sanction what they're doing, you know?
I hear you. Yeah. It's unbelievable, to be quite honest, what they get away with, what Israel and the administration there gets away with. It's just beyond belief.
And that Jerusalem thing, they're actually celebrating the 70th anniversary, and people are being killed and wounded in the hundreds.
Right.
Actually, in the thousands. Well, we've been through a lot so far, so we're going to take a break. First, we're going to have a little advertisement for my favorite doctor, Dr. Hugo Rodier, and then a song by Woody Guthrie that might be very interesting to hear right now.
Are you confused about so much information on health issues? Do you find it hard to trust the sources of conflicting advice? Try Dr. Rodier's newsletters and blogs based on the latest information published in the best medical and nutritional journals. There's no charge for subscribing. Just log on to hugorodier.com. That's HUGORODIER.com to do so, or to download Dr. Rodier's latest publications.
Put it there, boy, and we'll show these fascists what a couple of hillbillies can do. Well, I'm gonna tell you fascists, you may be surprised. People in this world are getting organized. You're bound to lose, you fascists bound to lose. Fascists died, you're bound to lose. You fascists bound to lose.
You know, we've talked a little bit about Trump possibly, you know, what would happen if Trump had a spiritual experience? What if he actually experienced the love and power of the divine presence? Well, people, possibly some of them listening to this program, might not realize that we're talking about a really powerful thing. And I'm going to give you an example of one that actually happened and resulted in thousands and thousands of people being helped. But let's try and hear N59.
Then I remember crying out, if there is a God, will he show himself? And then came the miracle, the great central experience of my whole life. The room instantly lit up in a blinding glare of white light. I was seized by an ecstasy such as I had never known. It seemed to me that I then stood on a mountaintop where a great clean wind was blowing. I thought to myself, but this is not air. This is spirit. This is the God of the preacher. How long I remained in this state, I just cannot say. And again, I have no words to describe what it was like. At length, however, I found myself on the bed, but now I was in a new world, a world in which everything was right, despite the wrongs of the world I had been living in. I felt myself filled with the consciousness of the presence of Spirit, of God. A great peace stole over me.
What do you think of that? That's Bill W., who founded alcohol. This guy was an addict. He was an addict, and he couldn't get out of it. He could not stop his addiction to alcohol. And then Bill W. prayed, and something happened to him of an extraordinary power, which led to him founding Alcoholics Anonymous and trying to at least move people in that direction, and thousands of people have been helped because of him. What do you think about the nature of that experience, Don?
You know, it sounds like the type of experience many people get when they become, when they're awakened, let's say.
When they're awakened, yeah.
Right. And he had that awakening spirit, and it changed him and everyone around him for the rest of his life. I love that. It would be great if Trump would experience something like that, like you're saying. It would be revolutionary.
Yeah, if only we had like an awakening injection that we could inject into our political leaders.
But the ascension vaccine.
Oh, I may not be able to stop laughing, but that's a good idea. Well, to get back into the real world of polarization, let's hear a little about what voting was on the table at that time. No longer, but N60.
Now, to the immigration battle on Capitol Hill, the House preparing to vote on two major bills next week as debate rages over the administration's policy of separating families who cross the border illegally. Our chief national affairs correspondent, Tom Yamas, he is near the border in Brownsville, Texas, at the country's largest licensed shelter housing undocumented immigrant children. Good morning, Tom.
Michael, good morning to you. That shelter is just behind me. If it looks like a Walmart, that's because that's what it used to be. It now houses boys from the ages of 10 to 17 years old. They spend 22 hours a day inside of that facility. And for the first time, we were part of a small group of journalists allowed inside. What we saw, they are nearing capacity, and space is now running out.
What do you want?
Justice!
When?
Now!
Several House Democrats joined protesters outside the Customs and Border Patrol headquarters, demanding an end to the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy, which has led to families being separated at the border.
That's not right. That's not fair. We have to say something. We have to do something.
Even one of the president's biggest supporters breaking with him, evangelist Franklin Graham.
I think it's...
disgraceful. It's terrible to see families ripped apart, and I don't support that one bit.
And overnight, ABC News learning a change could be coming. House Republicans set to put two immigration bills to a vote, dealing with border security, the wall, and a possible path for Dreamers, but also a provision prohibiting the separation of children and parents at the border.
And so many people have been asking what happens to those children once they're separated from their parents. Well, they're brought here to a facility where they're taken care of by the federal government. This is as far as our cameras are allowed to go. You can see it says keep out private property. And this facility is so big, it used to be a Walmart supercenter.
And this is what it looks like inside. This footage shot by the Department of Health and Human Services during a tour we took of the facility. This mega shelter is nearly at capacity, close to 1,500 boys, 10 to 17 years old. Since May, nearly 700 children have been separated from their parents. At this facility in Brownsville, children are allowed 2 calls a week and are allowed outside only 2 hours a day.
From what we could see, for the most part, the shelter is well staffed. The children are taken care of. There are a lot of activities to keep them occupied during the day. But one can only imagine, Robin, what it is like at night when they are alone in this strange facility away from their parents. The average length of stay now at facilities just like this across the country is 52 days.
52 Robin. Days away from their families and sometimes longer. All right, Tom, thank you very much.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos here. Thanks for checking out the ABC News YouTube channel. If you'd like to get more videos, show highlights, and watch live event coverage, click on the right over here to subscribe to our channel. And don't forget to download the ABC News app for breaking news alerts. Thanks for watching.
Well, let me remind you, folks, this is a talk show. Our number is 1-888-429-5471. Please keep your questions and comments connected to the theme of the show, which is called Trump and the Children. The number is 1-888-429-5471. And look, if someone likes what's going on now, we'd love to talk to you about it. If we'd love to hear why you think it's okay. So anyway, we're going to take a break now. B1 and C2.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We could take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
My God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
No, there's another one.
California Corporation, specializing in the creation of media and promotional content. We are focused on original, innovative projects that are good for humanity. These projects could be nonfiction books or novels, fictional screenplays or documentary content, websites and website content, commercial advertising content for print, audio, or video products on the internet, television, or radio, musical scores for advertising, television, or film, video, audio editing, etc. We want to promote products and projects that support the environment, encourage a healthy experience in living, developing, nurturing, and useful technology, and offering platforms for positive, socially constructive entertainment or informative, transformative media. Our experience in creating a variety of products like this is rather vast, and we offer client-based and collaborative products, as well as the opportunity of active investors to join us in the creation and promotion of proprietary products, some of which are in latter stages of development. For more information, go to www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. That's www.newgalaxyenterprises.com. If you're interested in talking to us, just fill out the contact sheet and we will get back with you.
All right. Well, we are back, folks, inalienable and free. And we're talking about, well, the border dilemmas and Trump's kids. So we're going to get right back at it. But before we do have a caller. Lynn, Mystic Healer, welcome to Inalienable and Free with Johnny Blue Star and me.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to get the information out that people should follow the money on the drug wars, the history of the drug wars and gun sales. Okay, those are really important, the real history behind it. And also, when you're separating families at the border, you have to remember that the separation of families for war and what's been going on in the warring paradigm on the planet. So I just wanted to get that out there. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Lynn. Appreciate you calling.
Yeah, thank you. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, Lynn. Thank you.
Let's see how Trump dealt with this most recently, N61.
Amid a full-scale public relations crisis over its policy of forcibly separating children from their parents, Donald Trump today reversed course, signing a new executive order ending that policy in just the last hour.
We're signing an executive order I consider to be a very important executive order. It's about keeping families together while at the same time being sure that we have a very powerful, very strong border, and border security will be equal, if not greater, than previously. So we're going to have strong, very strong borders, but we're going to keep the families together. I didn't like the sight or the feeling of families being separated. There's a problem that's gone on for many years, as you know, through many administrations, and we're working very hard on immigration. It's been just left out in the cold. Ivanka feels very strongly. My wife feels very strongly about it. I feel very strongly about it. I think anybody with a heart would feel very strongly about it. We don't like to see families separated. At the same time, we don't want people coming into our country illegally. This takes care of the problem.
Well, now he's done it. He's changed his mind, and he's now become he now finds there's been a tremendous amount of this before, which is not true. It hasn't been a tremendous amount. There's been some for various reasons, but very little. And he's now going to solve that big problem that he created a few months ago with an executive order, which incidentally later on says is limited. There are certain real problems with this executive order. Let's just see what is being said about if will children indeed be united with their parents, N62.
We begin tonight with breaking news in the border crisis that could add insult to the ongoing injury being suffered by more than 2,300 kids who've been torn from their parents at the border. It's a problem, as you know, that the president and his administration caused by choosing back in April to enforce existing border laws in a way that other presidents have not until now. That's a demonstrable fact, no matter what you might hear from anyone in the administration. As you also know, what followed was kids in holding pens, kids in desert detention centers, kids taken hundreds, even thousands of miles away from their parents, young children, toddlers even, housed in so-called tender age facilities. The president has refused to take responsibility for his role in any of this, something on full display today, signing an executive order barring family separation. Now, during the ceremony, he deflected blame onto other presidents dating back to Eisenhower for a problem, a three-month-old problem, that he says only he has had the courage to solve.
It's been going on for 60 years. 60 years. Nobody's taken care of it. Nobody's had the political courage to take care of it, but we're going to take care of it. It's been going on. It's been going on for a long time.
Well, that's not true. His administration enacted the zero-tolerance policy that caused this whole blow-up. And now, just hours after the signing ceremony, we're learning some troubling things about what comes next. Namely, CNN has learned today's executive order does not call for the reuniting of children who have so far been separated from their parents. Caitlin Collins has the breaking news on that. She joins us now from the White House. So what exactly is going to happen to the more than 2,300 kids who are in detention centers tonight?
Well, Anderson, to put it bluntly, nothing. This executive order that the president signed in the Oval Office today, painting it as this long-term solution, is really not. It's more of a stopgap, and nothing. There is no language in the text of this executive order that's about 4 pages or so that says anything about these children who have already been split up from these parents, these 2,300 or so that we know of. Children, they will not be immediately reunited with their families because their parents are going to remain in federal custody as these immigration proceedings go on. So they are not grandfathered in any way in this language that the president instructed today to keep these families together if they are detained while coming across the border. That doesn't apply to these people. And so the president is painting this as a long-term solution, but officials from the Department of Justice, Health and Human Services, and the Department of Homeland Security are essentially saying that these kids who have already been separated from their parents won't be immediately reunited. It'll be up to the parents to talk to HHS and find a way to get back to be reunited with their children. But there is no language in here, Anderson, that reunites them with their families.
Right. The Justice Department, I understand, is saying that the child separation policy might actually resume in less than 3 weeks. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. And that's because of this agreement that they cannot hold kids for longer than 20 days. Nothing that the president signed today changes any of that. So unless that they go to court and this ruling is overturned and they can instead hold these kids for longer than 20 days, then that's not going to change. And the officials recognized that today, admitted as much, saying essentially that after 20 days, it could go back to what it was before the president signed this executive order. Now, Anderson, the president did not have to sign an executive order to put an end to the separation of these families on the border. That is the direct result of a policy that his attorney general enacted not that long ago. So essentially, all he had to do was pick up the phone in the Oval Office and call the attorney general to put an end to this. But instead, our sources told us the president wanted to seem more decisive and instead of not make it seem like he was quietly reversing his policy, which is why he signed this executive order that, frankly, Anderson, seems to be a Band-Aid for this entire issue.
All right, Caitlin Collins. Caitlin, thanks. As we said at the top, some of the kids in question now in limbo aren't all in those facilities you've been seeing in Texas. Hundreds are being taken to places scattered across the country, far from the border, and in many cases, far from their parents. Three airlines today said they're asking the government not to put these kids on their flights. Nonetheless, more than 200 kids have already landed at a shelter in New York's East Harlem. Our Jason Carroll is there as well. He joins us now. Is there any indication from people running this facility that they've been given any kind of guidance as to what happens to these kids now?
Well, look, in the short term, what's going to happen to these children is, Anderson, they're going to stay with their foster families. They will go home at night, stay with their foster families, come back to facilities like this one, the Cayuga Center during the day. In the long term, though, there is no answer, no plan in place in terms of what will happen to the 239 children and babies, some as young as 9 months old, that are being housed here at this particular facility. Even tonight, the deputy mayor of Health and Human Services here in New York City says her office has received no plan from the federal government in terms of what to do with these 239 children. This is an issue, a problem that's facing not just the children at facilities at this one here in New York, but throughout the country.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing that these people are being disappeared in a certain way. Do you think that's intentional?
Do you think it's just
an accident of complete incompetence?
Oh, no, it's intentional. The percentages are too high. The number of kids that have been absconded, it's just too high a percentage. There's some chicanery going on.
Well, what I thought of is that maybe, you know, we were talking about the deterrence factor, and maybe they're just trying to escalate that deterrence factor by making sure that people realize they may not get their children back.
Right.
Which is an awful. I mean, the Pentagon is opening a military base for 20,000 children. What's that about?
Right. Right.
We're going to play something by Bernie Sanders. But before we do that, I just want to say that afterwards, I'd like to discuss this other idea I have for borders and see what you think.
You got it. Love to.
N63.
Thank you. Let me thank Senator Merkley and others for organizing this important discussion, a discussion designed to reclaim American values. And I also want to take this opportunity not just to thank Senator Merkley, but to thank millions of people from coast to coast, people who are conservatives and progressives, Democrats, Republicans, independents, for getting on the phone, for calling members of Congress, for expressing their outrage that in the United States of America today, we have small children who were torn from their mothers and their fathers and locked up in detention cages. And all over this country, regardless of one's political view, one understands that that is not what this country is about and must never be about. Now, tonight, as I understand it, we have Democrats down here. But opposition to this policy is widespread. Let me quote from a recent op-ed that Laura Bush, our former First Lady, the wife of a conservative Republican, wrote. And this is what she said, quote, "Our government should not be in the business of warehousing children in converted box stores or making plans to place them in 10 cities in the desert outside of El Paso. These images are eerily reminiscent of the internment camps for U.S. citizens and non-citizens of Japanese descent during World War II, now considered to have been one of the most shameful episodes in U.S. history." End of quote. This is former First Lady Laura Bush. So the good news is that because the American people spoke up, because some Republicans finally had the guts to do the right thing and convey their displeasure to the president, Trump has changed his policy. But let us be clear that the executive order that he issued today goes nowhere, nowhere, nowhere as far as it should go. First of all, Mr. President, and I would ask unanimous consent to enter into the record an article from the Daily Beast publication that came out tonight. And what they say is there is no guarantee that in this executive order, as Senator Kaine has indicated, that the fate of the 2,400 children currently imprisoned will be changed. There's nothing specific in the executive order that says that those 2,400 kids will in fact be reunited with their parents. Presumably this will apply to future apprehensions where children will be imprisoned with their parents. Second of all, there is an effort in this executive order to overturn the 1997 Flores settlement, which limits the government's ability to keep children in detention and orders them to be placed in least restrictive settings as possible. So if you can imagine it, what this executive order does is raise the possibility of children being imprisoned for very, very long periods of time. Is that better than them being separated from their parents? I guess. But does anybody really believe that we should be imprisoning for an indefinite period of time little children? There are better ways to deal with this issue. So, Mr. President, what it is clear to the American people is that once again, we have a president who caused this crisis by undoing existing policy. We have a president who I believe just the other day said, "Nothing I could do, it is law." Sadly, once again, he was lying. It is not federal law. His decision to separate children from their parents was his decision and his decision alone, as he acknowledges today by announcing an executive order ostensibly doing away with that policy. And let me remind the American people, Mr. President, that this terrible executive order
that he issued separating children from their parents is not the first terrible executive order with regard to immigration. Let us remember that months ago, Trump created the DACA crisis and put 1.8 million young people in this country, young people who were raised in this country, who are working, who are going to school, who are serving in the military, in danger of deportation because of a decision that he made. So I say to the president, start working hard on a new executive order and make that executive order clear that the 2,400 children now in jail, separate from their parents, will in fact be reunited, and make it clear that we will not keep children in prison for an indefinite period of time. And by the way, while you're at it, why don't you deal with the DACA crisis that you created and provide the legal status that 80% of the American people want to see for the young people in the DACA program?
Well, I have an idea, Don. It's a little bit, I just really thought of it last night. So I was saying, how can we deal with this situation? And this thought came to me. But it's a completely different point of view. And unfortunately, it has a wider context than the solution itself, because you'd have to change more things. Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Well, the idea is to create a border empowerment zone. So at these borders, now this is borders for every country that has a problem. And the border, and although most of the time, maybe it could be centered in the border and might have to be apart from the border, it depends where the border is, how much land is available. The idea is, are you there?
I am here, absolutely.
Do you have to leave?
I was reminded that Randy Robex will actually be airing shortly, so we've got a few minutes.
Okay, so anyway, when people come to a border, they're not entering into just really a border of one country or two countries. They're entering into a space that various countries have agreed will be a kind of an international border zone. So just on the first level, if people are legitimately in need, they may be sent somewhere else on an agreement. The empowerment zone is because in this place, it will basically be to re-educate and retrain people and to customize what they're doing there so that they can help create their own community if they had to go as, in other words, if you had some people there, say 500 people there, and they were going to have to leave that border area, they could go to another place in another country, maybe not the ones affected by their specific geographical border, and set up and start developing their own little village. But if they stayed there, various corporations and various countries would help them develop educational institutions, training institutions, factories, agricultural situations, where they're actually made into productive, creative citizens, but also with the understanding that they would be able to go to these adjacent countries and try and work things out. Well, anyway, Don, thank you.
I love what you're saying. You're talking literally coalitions and countries working together to fix this and hammer this out together. To me, that makes the most amount of sense of anything I've heard.
Let's work on this together for next show a little bit.
I'd love to.
That'd be great. Well, meanwhile, let's end with this note. We're going to hear a classic civil rights song, which we should never forget.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh,
slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free.